Hi. So nice to see such a nice crowd, especially on Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day, everybody. Thank you. I actually have a great shiur on mothers in Tanakh, but I thought, how perfect would that be? But the first year of Midrashat Yom Rishon, I gave it. And my gift to you is that I'm not recycling. I was thinking it's so perfect, but I don't know. I know people really come to this, you know, religiously, and I don't know. This is like 3 years ago, 4 years ago, whenever the program started. I have something different. I didn't know. I didn't want to, you know. So I figured I'll just say Happy Mother's Day. I'm not going to try to connect Birchas Konen in some, you know, far-fetched way to mothers, but, you know, you're appreciated. We're all, you know, we do a lot, and it's a nice day to show that appreciation. You could give your kids brachos. All right. Let me just get organized here. Okay. B'kol HaKavod for coming out on a beautiful Sunday, on Mother's Day, to learn a little Torah. So I figured we would talk about, we called it Reflections on Birchas Kohanim. And it's been something that I've always wanted to research a little deeper. You know, I was thinking about it actually Pesach time. You know, here in Chutz Laaretz, we say, in Eretz Yisrael, you say Birchas Kohanim every day, different relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. We'll talk about that a little bit more at the end. But I was thinking about a Pesach, hearing Birchas Kohanim in Shul, and with Shavuos coming up, you know, we say Birchas Kohanim. So I figured let's talk a little bit about what this bracha is all about. It's a quintessential bracha that's discussed in Parshas Bamidbar. We're almost there. You know, one more week until we're in Parshas Bamidbar. Anyway, the beginning of Bamidbar, well, Parshat Naso, where Hashem tells Moshe, "Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe lemar," and this is even before, well, this is source number one, and he says, "Daber al Aharon vel banav lemar, ko tivarchu et bnei Israel emor lahem." And he tells them to tell the Kohanim, Aaron and his children, tells them, this is the way you should bless Bnei Israel, and this is what you should say to them. And then, of course, Birchas Konim, which we're all familiar with. I mean, we do say it every day in Tzvila, at the end of the Shemona Esrei. Yivarecha Hashem v'yishmerecha, Ya'er Hashem panav eilecha v'yichuneka, Yisa Hashem panav eilecha v'yasem lecha shalom. We're not going to translate that because that's what we're going to be doing over the course of this year, talk about what that means. And then he finishes this little section here, V'samu et shmi al Bnei Israel v'ani avarchem. And I will place my name upon Bnei Israel, that they will place my name upon Bnei Israel, and I will bless them. So we'll spend some time now discussing two things I want to talk about here. The first part, which is like sources 1 through 10, something like that, just so you know what we're doing here, is going to be talking about the whole concept of people blessing other people. You know, what do we need the Kohanim here for? Is the bracha coming from Hashem? It's obviously coming from Hashem. We'll talk about that. So what's the role of the Kohanim? And this whole idea of human beings blessing other people, you know, I guess that's kind of like a difference here. But, you know, when Hashem said to Avram, V'heyei bracha, at the beginning of Lech Lecha, Rashi points out that you can now give brachot to others. And that's a concept, you know, that ties into mothers, you know. We give children brachos. But this is the first time that we see formally where Hashem is saying, you bless Bnei Israel, you give a bracha to Bnei Israel, and obviously that bracha is coming from Hashem, but we'll discuss the role of the Kohanim. And then after that, we'll take each section individually of Birchas Kohanim and analyze it and you know, try to understand what is being said in each section. And if you notice from a literary perspective, it's also beautiful because it's this ascending order of rhythm even. Yivarech Hashem v'shmerecha is three words. Ya'er Hashem panav eilecha v'chuneka is five. Yisa Hashem panav eilecha v'yasem lecha shalom is seven. So it's this ascending order of a bracha, so we'll try to figure out what that's talking about as well. All right, so let's begin. Lakedas Yitzchak, in source number 2, asks the question. Ma to'eles b'mitzvah hazot? Ritzoni k'sheyomru elu habrachot mipi ha'kohanim el ha'am. What's the point? What's the to'eles? What's the reason that we have the Kohanim here in all this? Why do we have to have Hashem's bracha through the Kohanim? Ki hu yitaleh hu ha'mevarech. And that's our question. Hashem is the one blessing Bnei Israel. U'ma yosifu ma yitein ki yivrachu ha'kohanim u'yichadlu. Does Hashem need their help in blessing Bnei Israel? Like, what is their role in all this if the bracha is essentially coming from Hashem anyway? So that's our question here. And again, all the Mefarshim discuss it. It's discussed among the Mefarshim. If you look at the Gemara, The Gemara in Maseches Chulin discusses this idea, and the Gemara says, "Kotzi Baruch Hu et Bnei Yisrael." Rabbi Yishmael Omer, "Lamanu bracha liYisrael mipi kohanim lekohanim atzmam lo lamanu." Kishu Omer vani avarchem, have Omer kohanim avarchem liYisrael, veHakadosh Baruch Hu mevarech lekohanim. And that's an interesting perspective. In other words, what this opinion in the Gemara is, that what Rabbi Shmuel says, if the Israel are being blessed by the Kohanim, so then who's blessing the Kohanim? And that's what the Gemara says. Basically, the Kohanim bless the Israel, and Hashem blesses the Kohanim. Which is interesting, because when, at the end of the section in Nasa, when it says, V'samu et shmi al b'nei Yisrael v'ani avarchem, according to this opinion in the Gemara, v'ani avarchem means, I will bless them, meaning who? The Kohanim. Exactly. The Kohanim will put my name upon b'nei Yisrael, and I will then avarchem, I will then bless the Kohanim. According to the second opinion, Rabbi Akiva Omer Lamanu Bracha liYisrael mipi Kohanim mipi Kura lo Lamanu Keshehu Omer Vani Avarchem Have Omer Kohanim Avarchem liYisrael VeHakadosh Baruch Hu Maskim Al Yadam. And that opinion, again, the Nafka Mina is, what is the Ani Avarchem at the end of this section? And Rabbi Akiva says, no, it's that the Kohanim are giving the bracha to Bnei Israel, and Hashem is agreeing. You know, He's among them. You know, giving the bracha, which we'll see in some of the future sources. So, v'samuach me b'nei Israel, they're putting my name upon b'nei Israel, and ani avarchem, and the bracha is coming from me. Again, I don't think anyone's saying the bracha is not coming. It's kind of semantics here and sort of parshanut, trying to figure out how it fits into the text. But, you know, everyone essentially says, obviously, the bracha comes from Hashem. So, if you look, we continue on. We just, you know, a couple more opinions about this, because I like how different mafarshim have like a little bit of a subtle difference of perspective here. If you look at the Tanchuma, the Medrash Tanchuma in source number 4, Amra Knesset Yisrael, Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Lekohanim Ata Omer Shivarchu Otanu, Ein Anu Tzrichim Elo L'Birchatcha, L'Yotenu Mitbarchim Mipicha. You know, Bnei Yisrael could turn to Hashem and say, we don't need these Kohanim, we want a bracha from you. We want the bracha to come from your mouth. We only want your bracha. Shenemar Hashkifa Mimon Kodshecha Min HaShamayim B'Varech Et Amcha Yisrael. Beautiful pasuk from Dvarim, where Hashem looks down upon, you know, from your place, and you bless us. You bless us. What do we need the Kohanim for? Amar Lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Af Al Pi She'amarti L'Kohanim She'yu Mevarchim Etchem, Ani Omeid Imahem U'Mevarech Etchem. And it's a very beautiful idea that Hashem says, even though the Kohanim are the ones really saying the bracha to you, I'm standing with them and giving the bracha as well. Now the Tanchuma doesn't say then why you need the Kohanim. And part of that is also, I think, the context of Sefer Bamidbar as a whole, which is really a separate share. I'm not going to go into that. I'll touch on that at the end. But we'll see an answer to that later on in the Al-Sheikh and Akedas Yitzchak. But you should know also, this is one of the sources for, which we'll discuss at the end, you know, kind of not looking at the Kohanim. You're not really supposed to turn around, we'll talk about that, but just covering your eyes or looking down, not looking at the Kohanim, this idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there are two different reasons for that. And one of the ideas is that, as the Tanchuma quotes, Hashem is there with the Kohanim, you know, kind of, sort of, you know, metaphorically speaking, but there's some sort of, you know, Shechina among them that you shouldn't be looking, you know, towards this area, towards the Shechina. The other answer is that it's Kavana, but we'll talk about that also. Okay, so again, just going through some of these early sources quickly, because, you know, you see each one of these different opinions about who's doing the bracha and why the Kohanim are doing it. If you look at the Rashbam in source number 5, Ko tevarchu et b'nei Israel, Chlomar, lo tevarchu mibirchat pichem, kadam shamer tuata l'rosh ploni kach l'kach, ela elai hitpalalu she'avarchem ani. And basically what the Rashbam is saying, if you look at the last line, he says, And the Rashbam says very clearly, it's also like a tefillah, which we'll see in the Arba'a Binel as well, that it's really like a tefillah. And again, it's more like what Rabbi Akiva says in the Gemara, which is, V'samu et shmi al b'nei Yisrael v'ani avarchem, is Hashem doing the blessing, Hashem giving the bracha, and it's Hashem, and we see that clearly from the Lashon, that Hashem even, the Kohanim say, Yivarech Hashem v'yishmerecha. They're not saying, Nivarech, you know, we're blessing you. What they're saying is, they're calling for the bracha of Hashem, and it's, you know, it's really like a tefillah, that they're the vehicle through which the bracha of Hashem comes, which is going to, we'll see in the next few sources. That's basically what the Barbanel says as well. And in terms of it being a tefillah, but I thought it was interesting that, again, each one of these sources added one little thing and there was a reason I wanted to bring each one, that Barbanel says in source number 6, Habracha Shem Meshutaf, and he talks about Ki Yesh Mimenu Me'ashem Yitbarach L'Nivra'av. He says basically it's a homonym. Now the word bracha has different meanings. He says the first one is Me'ashem Yitbarach L'Nivra'av. The first sort of bracha is a bracha that Hashem blesses His creatures, right? That those that He created. V'hi hashpa'a v'hatova k'mo she'nemar v'Hashem be'rachas Avram b'kol. So the first sort of bracha, which is the bracha of Hashem to His creations, and that's one sort of bracha. V'yesh bracha shehi me'hanivra'im elav yitzvarach. Now we have a concept also of people blessing Hashem, of people giving Hashem a bracha. V'hi hilul v'shevach k'mo v'yivarech David et Hashem. And that's more of a praise. When we bless Hashem, it's more of a shevach. And that's by Berech David et Hashem, as we see. And the third one, V'yesh bracha mehanivra'im k'tatam k'tatam, one to another. And the third type of a bracha is from people, from the creations to each other. And he continues, and he says, V'hi eina shefa k'mo birchat Hashem l'nivra'av, v'lo shevach v'hoda'a k'birchat ha'burim l'borei. And it's not like the other two. It's not like you can tell someone they're going to have shefa. You know, you can give a bracha to somebody that something good is going to happen to them. And it's not like shevach, where you're giving someone a bracha and you're praising them like we do to Hashem, but rather aval tzvila ubakashat rachamim al hamitparech sheyashpia alav hakadosh baruch hu mibirchaso. But rather, it's the bracha of it's the tzvila of the person giving the bracha, and that's why there's a concept of, you know, going to a gadol or somebody who you feel has a close connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though, of course, we all have a direct connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it's always good to get someone else's tefillos also. So it's the idea of the tefillah that you're going to somebody for a bracha, and that person's being mitpalel to Hashem, that Hashem's bracha should be upon you. And that's the tefillah aspect of it. And he says, V'lazen ne'emar kan daber el aron ve'el banav lemor, ko tevarchu et b'nei Yisrael emor lahem. Rotze lomar shelo yachshavu Aaron ubanav shehem mevarchim u'mashpiim be'etzem ve'emet habracha ha'elyona al Yisrael ki einam ela mitpalelim bilvad al birchatam v'zeu emor lahem sheye inyanam amira v'tfila aleihem bilvad v'lo davar acher. And then he adds, you know, Barbanel adds this idea that that's why Hashem tells them specifically what to say. Emor lahem. Ko tevarchu, you're not just getting up and giving, you know, whatever bracha you decide you want to give them. Hashem is telling you this is what you should say because you're basically the vehicle through which my bracha is going to come. You're davening on their behalf, and I'm telling you the lashon of that tefillah. And in fact, there's a halacha in the Gemara that a kohen cannot get up there and in the middle of Birchas Kohanim thinking, you know, he's the vehicle through which Hashem's brachos come, so, you know, I'm going to add my own bracha for myself also. He can't do this. And this leads us to Rav Hirsch, who says that it's clearly from Hashem. And that's why he starts off in source number, what are we up to? 7, okay. The Hakohen HaMevarech, I want to get to the crux of the matter here. Hakohen HaMevarech Eino Ela Machshir. And he says, Kli HaMevatet HaBracha. The Kohen is really just an instrument. First, you know, often says similar things that others are saying, but, I mean, he's also very creative, but just beautifully. He says the Kohen is really just an instrument. A Kli HaMevatet HaBracha. Just a Kli that expresses the bracha of Hashem. And then he continues about how it really has to be said in a certain way, because it's really coming from Hashem. And he brings the mitatam shel shnei b'nei Aaron, who brought an eish zara lifnei Hashem, that they did it asher lo tziva. They didn't do it the way they were supposed to. They did that voda a little bit different than the way Hashem had said, and we know the tragic ending of b'nei Aaron, who didn't do it exactly. And he says, this is part of that voda. He says, ma'aseh ish v'tachbulotav, hi zara v'hipucha al avodat Hashem, ha'retzuya ha'chok hazeh. And he says, when you do something different than what Hashem had desired, you can't do that. If you have to do exactly as Hashem is saying it. And that, he says, is applicable here also. Hachok hazeh kocho yafeh gam benogeh lebirchas kohanim. And he says it here in Naso. He says it's also applicable in birchas kohanim. Ko tevarchu et b'nei Yisrael. Kach v'lelo shinui. This way and not in a different way. The Zehudin, and that's a halacha. Again, you want to go to someone, you get a bracha, they can give you whatever bracha, whatever tefillah they want. But in this context, this is part of the avoda. Again, it fits into the whole theme of Bamidbar in terms of how the avoda, you know, fits into B'nai Israel's now, you know, transition into a natural relationship with Hashem. But again, that's a different topic. But he says this is the way it's done.
לפי זה הכהנים בברכתם מכשירים נפלים הם. רק אחרי היקראם על ידי הקהל, הם אומרים את הברכה אשר בא כוחו של הקהל מקריא אותם לפניהם. And that's why only after they're summoned, you know, by the Kehillah, can they then go through this bracha. In other words, this is scripted. This is not just, you know, and like I said, the halacha is the kohen can add his own bracha in there, or if he has his own tefillah to say there, because it's a very holy moment. But it's a scripted moment where the kohanim have to wait to be called upon, and I think it's very interesting, which we'll see at the end, very profound, that how are they called upon? They're called v'hakohanim, right? The kohanim, and the whole kehillah has to call the kohanim, and then the kohanim go and give the bracha, and the bracha is mevarech et amo Yisrael be'ahava, and we'll come back to that ahava. You don't see that anywhere else. It's such an interesting thing. We'll come back to that. But then they make this bracha, and then the whole kehillah has to say amen. You know, we're in this together. We're calling you. You're saying it the way Hashem told you to say it, and you can't say it in any other way. Kach be'emet mitoch gronam shel hakohanim mevarech hakahal et atzmo bebracha shetziva Hashem. And that last line, that's the part that I like in the verse that he adds. He says it's almost as if, it's like, again, there's no real nafka mina between a lot of these things, so, you know, but I just like the way, the things that the different mafarshim pick up on, and what the verse is saying, it's almost as if we're blessing ourselves. Mitoch gronam shel hakohanim, we're blessed, mevarech hakahal et atzmo. We're bringing upon our own bracha through the, literally, the throats of the kohanim. Again, it's a kli hamavata. It's a vessel. The kohen is a vessel through which we're getting a bracha of Hashem. But what I like what Rav Hirsch is saying is that we have to bring it, you know, we have to call the kohanim. We want this bracha. We have to show we want the bracha of Hashem. And that's why we're calling. That's why everybody in the kahila really should be calling, hakohanim. And really should be saying the amen at the end. I know in some shuls it's, you know, some of the kohanim feel that the kehillah doesn't respond, and it's very important because what you're essentially saying is we want this bracha. We're calling upon you to give this bracha that Hashem told us He wants to give. But Rav Hirsch says very strongly, this is part of the avodah. This is part of the avodah of the kohanim, that Bnei Israel are being blessed by Hashem through the kohanim in the way that Hashem told them to do it. Basically, Hashem is mapping out how it should be done. Couple more sources about this, and then we'll get to the crux of the tefillah. Rav Moshe Alshich, in source number 8, says, "Lama yedabra konim im Yisrael lomar yivarech Hashem." Again, same question. Why is the kohen needed? "Ve'lo tov hayashi yedabra konim el Hashem yedabra konim el Hashem v'yomru elav barchem Hashem v'shomram ve'lo shiyedabru im Yisrael lemar lahem yivarech Hashem." Again, a little bit of a different perspective. Same question, why are the kohanim needed? But he's saying it a little bit differently. Why did the kohanim have to do it in this way? Why the drama? Why the kohanim and then get up in shul and say, I'm yivarecha Hashem b'yishmerecha, and also notice that it's in singular, yivarecha Hashem, and we'll see that also as we go through each section. It's singular as opposed to yivarechechem. And he says, so he says, why can't the kohanim, again, if the kohanim are a vehicle through which the bracha of Hashem is coming, so let them have a quiet moment and ask Hashem, can you bless this kehillah? Why does it have to be to us? And again, part of that, I think, is what Rav Hirsch is saying, that, you know, we have to want it also. That part of it is our avodah, that we have to call for the come. That's part of the bracha. It's not just that the kohanim are on their own time telling Hashem, you know, bless these people. What we're saying is, we want this bracha of Hashem, and that's why the whole drama, that's why the whole, you know, mapped out scenario here in shul. V'laze amar ko tivarchu, v'tityachasu atem le'mivorchim, ke'amar lahem, be'atzmam yivarecha, v'lo be'amar lashem. And that's why he has to say, you know, they say it specifically to Bnei Israel, you know, to the kehillah, as opposed to saying it to Hashem another time. V'hatam ki nei al yedei kein v'samu et shmiel b'nei Yisrael. Ki al yedei dibram im Yisrael he mekavnim otam lekabel es habracha. V'sum et shmo yitbarach al ha'am shehu b'dibur atem v'amor lahem yivarechacha sh'al yedei kein yochinu v'yoshbiyu lekabel habracha. And I thought this was a beautiful idea. That it's not just that Bnei Israel have to want the bracha of Hashem and then call for the kohanim to come and give the bracha and basically, you know, acknowledge the fact that we appreciate this, we value the bracha of Hashem. But he says it's even more than that. It's that the kohanim are getting us prepared for this bracha. And I was looking at this, you know, Rav Al-Shakir, and thinking, like, what even getting us prepared? What does that mean? You know, like, basically telling us it's an introduction to the bracha of Hashem. Yivarech Hashem v'yishmerecha. Hashem is about to bless you. Or not about to, but Hashem will bless you. Yeah, I guess about to. But you are getting the bracha of Hashem. And that's what the Kohanim are preparing Bnei Israel to get this bracha. So there's a beautiful idea in the last two sources about this first part of the topic, I think highlight this idea nicely. I actually, you know, reading that Kedas Yitzchak on this pasuk, that Kedas Yitzchak quoted the Gemara in Shabbos, and it's actually a little bit of a famous Gemara, but I don't know what that means. The definition of famous something is something that we've learned at some point in our lives, so I guess depending on what we know. But I never saw it in this context. I thought it was interesting that Kedas Yitzchak on this pasuk, you know, of this parsha of Birchas Kohanim, quoted the Gemara in Shabbos, which is source number 9, to help us understand this idea, you know, what do we need preparation? What do you mean the Kohanim are preparing us for the bracha of Hashem? And I think it's a big yesod here. It's a very deep idea that the Gemara says, this whole scenario, I took only a piece of this, we're in source number 9 now. When Moshe went up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, to get the Torah, matzol HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shehaya kosher k'tarim lo'otiyot. Hashem, there are many different midrashim about this, many different gemaras. Hashem was finishing putting the crowns on top of the letters. He was finishing up, you know, he had a deadline, I guess, you know, it was almost Shavuos, and he was finishing up the crowns, you know, it was almost Matan Torah, and Amar lo Moshe, Ein Shalom Beirecha, Amar lefanav, Klum Yesh Even, Amar lo Moshe, Ein Shalom Beirecha, Amar lefanav, Klum Yesh Even Shenotein Shalom L'Rabo, Amar lo Hayalacha L'Azreini. There's this whole conversation back and forth, and there's different scenarios of this scenario. And basically, you know, Hashem says, Moshe, aren't you going to greet me? And Moshe says, greet you, you know. And it's interesting, the word is shalom here is used also, which we'll see later, the connection. But Hashem says, when Moshe says, I'm supposed to give you a shalom, you know, like, you're my Rebbe, I'm supposed to walk in and start the conversation and say, hey, God, how you doing? You know, what do you mean? Am I going to greet you? What do you want from me here? You're finishing writing the Torah. I don't want to interrupt you. I don't want to interrupt this moment. So what does Hashem respond? He says, at least help me. Hayalacha lazreini, you should have come in and started helping me. And of course, the Gemara discusses what, you know, that's, it seems like it could possibly be a beautiful idea, but what does it mean? What do you need my help with? So that's what that Kedas Yitzchak then in source number 10 discusses. Again, remember, I got this source from that Kedas Yitzchak in Birchas Kohanim. And he says, Shalom HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ha'ishtadalta gam ata kefi acholet ha-manhig ha-noshi l'shacher shalom ha-achrei asher ata betocha v'kiyuma. Not going to go through the whole thing, but he basically, you know, Hashem is saying to him, I need your, you know, did you do what you could do to get Bnei Israel ready? Basically, I need your help in giving this Torah to Bnei Israel. I'm finishing putting the crowns on the Torah. I need your help to get Bnei Israel ready to get the Torah. And Moshe's response is, you know, Chashav ki ein yecholet enosh. You know, Moshe thought that, you know, what do you need my help for? You're giving them the Torah. What do you need my help in, you know, in the transmission of the Torah? I mean, I guess you're giving it through me, but why do you need me to finish it off, let's say? So basically, if you just look at the end of that Kedas Yitzchak, the last few lines, it's a very beautiful conversation back and forth. And that's why, again, I don't want to go into the specifics of it because there's very nice philosophical ideas here. Hashem is saying every person has to do it. He says, "Akol taloi bo b'rtzono." Hashem says, basically, I can give over the Torah, but if they don't put their hishtadlus into accepting it, then it's meaningless. In other words, I could give this wonderful gift, but if you don't know how to use it and you don't appreciate it, I can give all the brachos in the world. And this is a big yesod, right? Why are brachos meaningful if we don't appreciate the brachos that we have? And I think most of us, I shouldn't say most, but many of us, often we go through life, we don't necessarily appreciate the brachos that we have. And then, you know, that whole philosophical question, if you don't appreciate the bracha that you have, is it in fact a bracha? The answer is, it is a bracha. Unfortunately, you don't necessarily appreciate it. And I think that it, and that's why he says, "V'chol zot chovat ha'adam l'tahir l'kadesh etzmo v'chavra ha'noshi." We have to mekadesh ourselves. We have to be in the mode of kedusha to accept the brachos and appreciate the brachos that we're getting from Hashem. Because he could throw brachos upon us, but if they're not appreciated, then it doesn't do us any good. And he gives a beautiful, the reason I like this Akedah Sitzchak a lot, the last point he makes, he gives a mashal. I think it's a wonderful mashal. And he says, you know, basically after saying that we have to prepare ourselves, and Hashem is basically saying to Moshe, well, we have to do Matan Torah, I'm about to give them this wonderful gift. It's your job to prepare them for this gift. They have to appreciate this. And of course, you know, another whole shir, they didn't really. And that's what was very difficult with that generation. whether it was their fault or not. But what does he say at the end of Kedus Yitzchak? He says the last two lines of source number 10, starting from the middle of the second to last line, he says, Kechalkat Eretz. He says it's like a piece of land. Asher lo od einena avuda uzrua, lo yuchlu hageshem vehatal lif'ol pe'ulatama tova aleha, ad sheteaved v'tizara kira'ui. It's a beautiful mashal, says Kedus Yitzchak. It's like a field. It's a field that, let's say, if it's not planted, if nothing's in the field, and then it rains, are they gishmei bracha? Is the rain a blessing? What do you have after, you know, a four-hour rain? You have a lot of mud. You know, it's not necessarily bracha. It's a big pain. But what happens if you prepare the field beforehand for the rains? What happens if you plow and you plant and you prepare the field? And there's a lot of hard work that goes into preparing a field. From all my farming experiences, I actually never had a garden that worked for that reason. But there's a lot of work that goes into it. And then what happens if you put the work into it beforehand? Then, when the gishmei bracha come, it's mamish gishmei bracha. Then it's rains of bracha. Then the rain becomes a big bracha. And that's what Kedus Yitzchak says. And he says, v'zehu shemar lo kadosh baruch hu mikol makom hayalacha l'sayeni. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Moshe. Help me. You need to help me get my field ready. If I just give this Torah, and it's not planted, and it's not sowed, and it's not, and whatever else goes into preparing the field, and the Bnei Yisrael are not prepared to receive this, they're not going to appreciate that it's a bracha. It's going to be meaningless to them. And that's what I need you for. I need you to prepare them for this bracha. And I think, you know, just to finish part one of this, we're doing okay. I think that's the point of the Kohanim here. And that's why I wanted to end that point with the Kedus Yitzchak here. That's maybe what the Kohanim, you know, kind of like a little bit of what everybody's saying, but maybe that's one of the roles of the Kohanim. And there are a lot of parts to it. Part of it is that we have to appreciate the fact that we're getting the bracha, and that's why we call for the Kohanim to come and give us the bracha. But that's why the Kohanim say it to us. What they're basically saying is, according to the Kedus Yitzchak, it's not even a tefillah per se, as much as, I'm not giving you the bracha, just get ready because you're getting a bracha of Hashem. Just know that Hashem gives you bracha in your life. Think about it. Reflect upon it. Reflect upon the bracha that Hashem gives you. Appreciate that it's a bracha from Hashem, and then it will be a bracha from Hashem. And then, when Hashem does hopefully shower us with brachos, we'll be in a position where it's appreciated. Because we've been, warned is the wrong word, but kind of given a heads up from the Kohanim, get yourself ready. You don't just get the bracha and appreciate it like that. There's work you have to do on yourself. There's your own hishtadlus that goes into it. Okay, so that's Ad Kan with the whole concept of the Kohanim and why do we need the Kohanim. Now let's look at the bracha itself. This, again, you know, ascending order of, so now that, you know, we talked about the holiness of this bracha and, yeah, question. Good question. Right. I know some great Kohanim. But yeah, no, it's a very good question. And I think, oh yeah, sorry, the question is, how do the Kohanim today compare to the Kohanim of old? Meaning, it's a good question. In other words, first of all, Moshe was not the one. Let me just say the bracha. The question. The question is, if the Kohanim, you know, or we can understand, you know, Aaron and his children. Again, Moshe was not the one that Hashem told to give the bracha. It was Aaron and his children. For them to prepare Bnei Israel and be on the level to be able to prepare Bnei Israel with bracha of Hashem, what about nowadays with anybody, you know, anybody who's a Kohen, who is born a Kohen, to get up there and be the vehicle of Hashem? You know, how do we reconcile that? I guess that was, you know, we don't know where they're coming from. And it's interesting, there's, in that Gemara in Chulin, there's a lot of halachos about what type of Kohanim can do Birchas Kohanim and what type can't. It's interesting, I don't even know what applies, like how much of that is applicable, because a lot of things, I mean, we did Birchas Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash, so a lot of things are more symbolic now. And, you know, at the time, I don't know, it would be interesting to note if there were, like the Gemara goes on to say about how certain Kohanim, like if you, I know this was the one that popped into my head, I don't know the Gemara offhand, but I remember looking through it, like for example, if a Kohen kills someone b'shogeg, he can't do Birchas Kohanim, even if it's b'shogeg, you know, he's in a car accident and whatever, and, or if he draws blood, and then there's different opinions, you know, if he was in a war, you know, there are certain Kohanim that can't, you know, at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, couldn't get up and be part of Birchas Kohanim. we don't necessarily have that because that would cause a big problem now. Like, you can get up, but you can't, but you can, you know. And I think that's why, you know, this is something that's a remnant of what we did at the time of the Beis HaMikdash. In fact, interestingly, one of the earliest written tefillos we have found archaeologically is from Bayis Rishon, is a little scroll of Birchas Kohanim. So I think that this is a remnant, you know, sort of like Tara, Tuman Tara. Like, we have certain remnants of Tuman Tara now, but it's not the same as it was at the time of the Beis HaMikdash. Probably Birchas Kohanim is the same way. But I think the real way to answer that is how we relate to it. In other words, instead of thinking about the person, you know, that's their problem. In other words, the person, one of the reasons that we're not supposed to look at the Kohanim, aside from the fact that, you know, Hashem, like, metaphorically or whatever, Kabbalistically, Hashem is standing among the Kohanim, another reason, which is the majority opinion reason, is that we're supposed to be concentrating. You know, that's why men put talisim over their heads. It's not a matter of not looking. You know, when you're little, you think you can't look. You know, I think someone once told me you turn into a pillar of salt like Lot's wife, which is, there's no source for that. I don't know where I heard that, some teacher or something. I don't know. But, and then you have people that turn around, which you shouldn't do either, which we'll see. You're supposed to be facing the Kohanim. It's not like we're giving you a bracha, we're preparing you for a bracha, but excuse me, I'm going to put my back to you. Like, that's not okay either. But the point is the kavana. You're supposed to be looking down because you're supposed to be focusing on the bracha. So I think my only answer to you is, let's just focus on the fact that we're being prepared for Hashem's bracha instead of thinking about the level or the quality of the person who's doing that. That's his problem with Hashem. And maybe, and the Gemara goes on to say that there's a certain tefillah that's optional for the Kohen to say before he gets up and does Birchas Kohanim. In other words, that Kohen, you're right, he was born a Kohen, you know, was one of Korach's problems with Moshe. You know, it's not fair. Why'd you choose Aaron? You know, this is Hashem chose the Kohanim for that vote. Everybody has their job, which we see at the beginning of Bamidbar. And yes, we have the Masorah that continues from that. So maybe it's not so fair if you're born but you don't work on yourself. The point is, you're supposed to be working on yourself. And if you know you're about to get up in shul and be a kli hamivates brichas Hashem, so you should be working on that. And the kehillah should be just focusing on the fact that we're being prepared for Hashem's bracha. Yes, the Gemara says that also because he's not focused. Not because he's a bad person, but because he wouldn't necessarily be focused if he's a time of Avelos, and if he's focused on his own Tsaros or Tsa'ar, it's very hard to focus on the bracha that you're giving to the Kehillah. I agree. Right. You're right. And that's why I feel like that's a good question for the Kohanim. They should be reflecting. It's a very good question. But again, yeah. Right. But I also think that, right. But I think that that person should realize the chashivas of it also. But you're right. You're right. Correct. And that's why it's more important for us to prepare ourselves, because either way we're getting the bracha from Hashem. Correct. Yeah. Oh, that's a good one. What she said was, that's good. I didn't think of that. She said, maybe that's why you're not supposed to look. You're not even supposed to see who's giving it. It doesn't matter. Just listen to the words. I like that. That's very nice. No, it's true. You know, in other words, it doesn't even matter. You know, you're going to look, oh, I just saw that guy last week do something. You know, you just look down. No, exactly. In other words, you don't have to see and start thinking that you're right. So I think everybody, you know, which I think is in general a good feeling, good principle in Judaism, which is just like, we can't change someone else. Just focus on yourself, you know. I just want to continue. Yeah. Same thing. Right. But there's certain rules about this also. You can have a bald tefillah who's not such a nice person also. He could be over 40. He could have a family, you know. But you also, you hope that it's bigger, like we said over here in the front. It's bigger than just the person standing in front of you. Right. Yeah, we're going to continue. Sorry. Okay, so let's continue. Now let's go into Birchas Kohanim. I usually teach in a classroom, so it's hard to give and take. I'm just used to. Okay, we could do this. Now we'll finish up and look at the bracha. Yivarech Hashem v'yishmerecha. So let's do the first one. We'll do this quickly. Rashi, Yivarech Hashem, in source number 11. Shitbarchu nechasecha. It's a material bracha. This first bracha is a material bracha, that your stuff, your nechasim, your possessions will be blessed. Vishmaracha, shelo yavo alecha shogedim litom amoncha.
And what is Bishmerecha? He should bless you with material things, and he should guard that nobody, that thieves don't come to take it away. You can't, anybody, you know, if I give you a gift, I can't protect it from being stolen. I give you a nice watch, and then someone steals it from you. You know, what point was the gift? But rather, so Hashem is saying, not only am I giving you the gift of material bracha, material wealth, but I'm also going to protect it from you, you know, protect it from thieves. I'll make sure that you get to keep it. Ebenezer says also, and he says it's more physical. He says he adds chayim, life and wealth, physical things. Same thing that Rashi says. Bishmerecha means literally Hashem will protect it. Hashem will guard it to make sure nobody takes it from you. Moving along, going through these quickly because everyone's kind of saying similar things. The Netziv actually says something different. Beautiful Netziv here. The Netziv, Rav Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, Hamek Davar, in source number 13, says, Yivrecha Hashem, he says, Nichlal bazeh l'chol adam kifi ha-ra'uy lo lehitbarech. He says, no, he says, it's not necessarily across the board, like a lot of Mepharshim say, physical bracha. He says, each one gets a bracha according to who he or she is. And he continues, like everybody, when they came to the Beis Hamikdash, they brought ish kefi yecholato, you know, ish kefi matanato, everybody according to their own, what they're able to bring, what their own matana was. Habracha tehi lefi habracha shenitbarech ad ko. Your bracha should be, yivrecha Hashem yishrecha, means each person according to what they have up until this point. Meaning what? Laosek batorah belimudo. Laosek b'mischar b'schorah. Meaning, if somebody's sitting and learning all day, so his bracha will be, or her bracha will be, that she'll, you know, have shefa in Torah. If someone's in business all day, Hashem will give you a bracha of business. It's good to have both, right? But in other words, whatever you do, that's the bracha. You'll get the bracha. Whatever you're good at, whatever your talents are, whatever you are doing in your life, your bracha will be added upon that. And that's why he says, look at the last line, he says, Kach nichal b'zoa bracha klalit, yivarecha Hashem tosefet l'chol adam b'ma sheyeshlo. Very nice idea. I'm not getting that person's bracha. You get very, you know, personalized bracha based on what you have. And he says, beautifully, but what's v'yishmerecha? V'yishmerecha, he says, dekol bracha ba'esh mira shelo yafchu l'roa chas v'shalom. A lot of typos in here. That every bracha needs shmira, protection. That it shouldn't end up being bad, chas v'shalom, meaning what? Unlike the other Mepharshim who said, v'yishmerecha means physically, I'm giving you a physical gift and I'm physically protecting it from robbers. But v'yishmerecha means I'm protecting you from yourself. Because often, sometimes, when you get, not often, but sometimes it can be that if you get a bracha of tosefet, then it might get to your head. And what, you might get egotistical, you might have gaiva, it might bring, you know, you have all these stories about people who won the lottery and they messed up their lives, you know, because they didn't know what to do with it. So Hashem is protecting you. It's a very profound idea that Hashem is protecting you. You know, Baal Torah by Ishmira min ha-gaiva, right? The kadome, the kishma, and he says, yeah, it could be from Geneva and Aveda also, but also from yourself, you know, that it shouldn't, the things that you want a bracha, it shouldn't cause you tzar, that what you get should cause you only simcha, it should only be a source of bracha to you. Okay, but again, even according to the Netziv, who says that Yishmerecha is not literally from thieves, it's more physical. Here, the bracha is more physical. And that's what the Ba'ar Benel reiterates in source number 14. Shabracha rishona hi bracha b'inyanei haguf. The first bracha, Yivrecha Hashem Yishmerecha, is in yanei haguf, physical, material. Shivarech v'yashpia lehem tovot harbe, you know, banim chayim mazoni, v'yishmar, you know, like, children, life, parnasa, v'yishmar atam shelo yachzur mehem, and Hashem will watch over so that you shouldn't be missing any, lacking any of these physical things. V'amar v'yishmarecha, achar yivarecha, lefi sheyivarecha, ne'amar al ha'osher v'atosefet v'tovot ha'gashviot, u'mipnei shepamim rabot, yesh osher shamor lebalato lerato yitzuchu l'shamareu. And that's what that Ba'ar Benel basically agrees with the Netziv. That's why Hashem is protecting. Again, it's physical, but there are physical brachos that can bring tzar. So that's what the Ba'ar Benel says as well.
Okay, so that's the first. Yivarech Hashem v'Shemecha, and we can understand now why that's the smallest one, let's say. Yivarech Hashem v'Shemecha, the physical. You need it, but let's move up now to the next level. Ya'er Hashem panav eilecha v'chuneka. Says the Medrash Rabbah. Ya'er, says the Medrash, Ma'or Torah. Ze Ma'or Torah, she'ya'ir einecha v'libecha b'Torah, v'yiten lo banim b'nei Torah, etc. Kiner mitzvah v'Torah or. So he says, basically, Ya'er is like enlightenment. Your aura is light, but it's enlightenment. It's not physical from Hashem, but it's more spiritual. It's enlightenment in Torah and Bichuneka, Harehim Vurchim, Mishmurim, Mishchina Benehem. You're blessed with knowledge, with insight. He's saying that Chain is a sort of insight. And where do we see that Chain is a sort of insight? He says, Kum Matsulim, like we say in Shacharis, in the Shemoneh Esrei, Atachonen Ladam Da'at Melamed Le'Nosh Bina. So according to the Medrash, there's an idea of Chain being like a spiritual gift from Hashem, but it's like insight, a certain insight and Chachma that comes along with that, which again is not physical, like the first Bracha, but a certain Chachma and insight that goes beneath the surface. Rashi says, Rashi says, he says, Ya'er Hashem panav eilecha, yir elecha panim sochakot, panim tzahuvot, and v'yichunecha yiten lecha chen. He says, and you see, it's also spiritual, but I love how Rashi says, also, Hashem, literally, it says, Hashem should show you panim sochakot, a smiling face, panim tzahuvot. Yellow, goldish. You know, I really think whoever came up with that big yellow smiley face, it's in this Rashi. I'm telling you. Panim sochakot, panim sahuvot. Right? It's trademarked, right? Somebody learned a good Rashi here in Nassau. Because you think of that big yellow smiley face, it's so pleasant. You know, there's just a pleasantness. Like there's a certain chain that Hashem gives you. And I'm trying to figure out what Rashi means by that. But again, it's about the relationship. It's some spiritual connection that Hashem is smiling at you, you know, and you know, that feeling of connection with Hashem. But again, a spiritual bracha, a spiritual connection. And yiten lecha chen, it's very hard to even translate what the word chen is. Like people have chen. How do you... You know, chen, it's like a good thing to have. But if you see the way the Mefarshim say, you know, what good are certain physical brachos if you don't have the chen to give it over? And that's why we see in the next couple sources, Ibn Ezra, Ya'er Hashem panav eilecha, kitam pe'or p'nei melech chayim. Okay, let's see, he says, v'atam yikabel tov v'nirtzeh l'mla'ot she'ilatcha miyad, you know, Hashem should answer your tefilos. And he's saying vichuneka means he should show chen upon you, that when you daven to him, again, it's more spiritual. You should be able to turn to Hashem. It's not just a physical, but it's that spiritual relationship with Hashem. The Ibn Ezra says, so the second, so the Ya'er Hashem panav eilecha is more of a spiritual relationship. You know, it's a spiritual bracha. And it's interesting, I thought I brought one of the sources here that mentions Yosef, and I guess not, but we see that later on in Akedas Yitzchak in 22 when he sums it up. He says, yeah, what's the point of having certain things if you don't have a certain chain to give it over with, if you don't have a certain chain to you. So we're asking Hashem for that chain, whatever it means, something spiritual, something about our personality that goes beyond just physical. So that we can understand, that's even, you know, more. That's why there's a five, Ya'er Hashem panav eilecha v'chuneka, because, you know, it's even more important. Let's say, you know, you start with the physical, which is important, and then it builds up to this spiritual bracha. And then finally, last part, Yisa Hashem panav eilecha v'yasem lecha shalom. Rashi says, interesting, Rashi chooses the minority opinion here, although I think he chooses it because he really, like in most cases, he really believes this is pshat. He says, Yisa Hashem panav eilecha, Hashem should turn his face from you or to you, Yechbosh kaso. Rashi says it a little bit negatively. Again, I think he's saying this because it's pshat. He sees it as pshat, which is Hashem will withhold his anger from you. And you see in the Medrash, in source number 19, there's the pshat. You see that Yisa Hashem panav, that often, you know, when Hashem is angry, he shows his face. So Rashi's seeing the Yisa panav combination as being used often in the Torah as when Hashem is upset with Bnei Israel, he shows his face, whereas most of the Mefarshim don't choose this and see it more as a positive face as opposed to a negative. I just thought it was interesting, and you know, I had to bring you Rashi. Rashi saw it as a negative because more times than less in the Torah, the Yisa panav is negative. So the Medrash says the same thing. Yisa Hashem panav eilecha, yavir ka'aso mimcha, ve'en Yisa el lashon hasara. Yisa means hasara, that he should remove it, he should turn it. So if Yisa means he should turn his face away, what do you mean turn his face away? Sorry, what does it mean turn his face away? It means if you deserve punishment or he gets angry at you, he'll let it go. And again, it's all about the relationship. Most of the Mefarshim do not choose that answer. And again, I think Rashi is choosing it because he believes it's Pshat. If you look at Eben Ezra in source number 20, he said, it's the opposite of hiding my eyes from you, meaning I'm turning my face to you, right? Beautiful Eben Ezra. Everywhere you turn in life, Hashem's face will be upon you, positively. You know, no matter what, you know, like that Dr. Seuss book, the places you go, you know, you might take journeys down scary, dark streets, you know, and alleys, but ultimately, no matter where you are, if you find yourself in a very bad place, and you look up, and you turn to Hashem, He will be there for you. He follows you. And again, this is all about the relationship with Hashem. It's the culmination, you know, well, we'll talk about the culmination in a few minutes. So he says, And then Rabbeinu Bachya says the same thing in source number 21. Yisa Hashem panav elecha, b'kol makom shetitne, yupanav nesuot elecha, lasum lecha shalom. And Hashem will always be there, even in your darkest hour, watching you, supporting you, to bring you ultimate peace. And that's why v'asem lecha shalom is ultimate shleimut. Like the word shalom and shalem is the same word. When you feel a certain shleimut, a certain contentment, a certain peacefulness to yourself, you're not wanting, you're not missing something in life. And that's why if Hashem is with you, even when you have moments that you might feel bad about things, if you know Hashem is with you, that's a certain shalom comes from that. A certain, and he calls it, Rabbeinu Bachya says, hu hashkacha pratit yetera, like an extra hashkacha pratit. You know, there's hashkacha of Hashem in the world, and then, you know, Hashem looks out for the world as a whole, and then you and me and everyone individually answering our needs, and if you really believe in that, and you believe in that relationship, there will be a certain v'yasem lecha shalom, you'll have a certain peace. And that's why you have people that have very difficult lives, and yet have a certain peace to them. And then you have certain people that have, on the surface, you know, excellent things in their life and don't have that shleimut, don't have that shalom. And what, it's a bracha that we should look to Hashem and have that relationship with Hashem so that we have that ultimate shalom. The Akedas Yitzchak in source number 22 kind of sums it up over here. And he says, Kfar nitba'er miklal divrei chachamenu ki'ilu ha-shalosh brachot he miyuchadot l'shalosh tzarchei ha-chrachiyim asher lanu, tzarchim ha-chrachiyim. These are three essential things that we need in our lives. Says Dakeres Yitzchak, just to go through it quickly, we'll take one line from each paragraph. Ha'achad tzarchei gufanotenu be'inyan ha-mamonos. The first one is physical, parnasa. You know, you need a parnasa, you need to be able to live. Send your kids to yeshiva, right? Even in this economy. But know they're kinyanim hazmanim. Know that they're temporary. We need these things, these material brachot, but they're temporary. And then he continues, we'll go to the next paragraph. The second one is a certain, you know, spiritual enlightenment that you know that the brachos come from Hashem. That it's only meaningful because it comes from Hashem. So again, let's define the first one as a material, physical bracha. The second one is a spiritual one. To have knowledge, recognize that it comes from Hashem. Ki lo tushama yidiyah zulat hachein. And have a certain chein, and again, he's continuing with the chein. He says, ki achein hu mashlim kol advarim. Like we see from Esther and Yosef and Daniel, there was a certain chein, you know, that, again, nobody's able to really put their fingers on the explanation of it, but shikablu acherim imenu. Like you can be given certain brachos, physical brachos, but if others can't, you know, don't like you, or you don't have a nice personality or a character, you know, it's very hard to learn from you, and it's very hard to give over to others. So there's a certain chein that comes from the fact that you acknowledge that the bracha comes from Hashem. Because once you don't recognize that the bracha comes from Hashem, that becomes ego. And then it's very hard for people to learn from you. And then you don't have chayin. Chayin and ego don't go hand in hand. So that's what he says. It's the yediya. It's the spiritual enlightenment, the knowledge that it comes from Hashem. And then finally, And the last one is our relationship with Hashem. And you need both, you know, both in order to get to this point. The hula kabel masat panav utzveikut abato, the gamlaze lo yushlam in ki'im b'mashaba b'machto b'omro v'yasem lecha shalom. And he says, and this ultimate tveikut v'Hashem, which is the yisa Hashem panav elecha, you know, that Hashem is always with you, v'yasem lecha shalom, all of that would be meaningless without ultimate shalom. V'inei ha'yashalom ikar kol habrachot v'chitumam. That the ultimate goal is ultimate shalom. And this is basically like a recipe to get to that ultimate shalom, to get to a certain shleimut. Taking the material bracha, having the material bracha,
a spiritual enlightenment, recognizing that that material bracha is from Hashem and having a certain chaim that goes along with that, and then ultimately combining the physical and the spiritual to work on a relationship with Hashem. And his point is that the shalom is so important. I don't think it's a coincidence that when we say Birchas Kohanim in davening, it's by the last bracha of Shmoneh Esrei, which is V'yasamcha Shalom, you know, V'amerechet Avod Yisrael B'Shalom, which is the bracha of Shalom. I think also, if you look at the last, very last Mishnah, in Shisha Sidrei Mishnah, right? Amar Rav Shimon ben Chalafta, Lo Matza Kadosh Baruch Hu Kli Machzik Bracha L'Yisrael Ela HaShalom. Hashem only gives bracha through shalom. Shenemar, v'Hashem oz lamo yitin, Hashem yivarech et lamo b'shalom. If you don't have that shalom, if you're missing something, if you don't feel a certain shleimut, then you know, you can't be a kli of bracha. You can't appreciate the bracha. And that's why he's, and it's interesting, the Mefarshim there talk about why he's at the end of the Mishnah, because throughout Mishnayos, everybody's arguing with each other. So the Mishnah wants to end. Ultimately, it was Milcham Toshel Torah, but we're really, you know, we're very peaceful. We want to find the ultimate shalom. One last point to sum it up. And I think also that's why the Kohanim, by the way, say, Yivarech Namo Yisrael Ba'ahava. What I want to say, I wanted to get back to, I don't have time to elaborate, but the idea is they're giving the bracha, it only works through Ahava, because ultimately you want to get to Shalom. If it works, if you have your personal ego, it's Ahavat Yisrael, and that's how it has to be given over. The last point I want to make, which is our very last source here, an unbelievable Rabbag, that, and I'll just do it very quickly, it'll take us a couple minutes. So the question is, you know, again, we've discussed the Birchas Kohanim. We see how each one is an ascending order. The first two are like a means to an end, and the last one is the end, which is the relation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So why is it where it is? Why is this, you know, stuck, wrong word, in the middle of Parshat Naso? Again, it's another whole shiur to go through the whole structure of Sefer Bamidbar and how it fits into the whole structure, but just one little point of it, because this Ralbag is unbelievable. It's basically in Parshat Naso, and Parshat Naso, you have to understand what's going on. Beginning of Bamidbar, Bnei Yisrael are about to go into Eretz Canaan. They're about to go. They've finished Matan Torah. They've been learning at Har Sinai for a little less than a year, for a little over a year, and they're about to go into Eretz Israel. And Hashem says, you know, Rav Lachem Shevet Baharazet, it's time for you to go. They set up the camp, the whole beginning of Bamidbar. They're setting up the machane where the Shvatim have to go with their banners, with their flags, and then Naso, Parshat Naso comes along. All of Parshat Bamidbar is setting up the camp. Then comes along Naso, which is like seemingly random mitzvos, like the mitzvah of Mitzora, and how someone who gets tzaras has to go outside of a camp. And then it talks about in the mitzvah of Sota, what happens when you have a Sota situation. It talks about a Nazir, if you want to be a Nazir. Then it talks about Birchas Kohanim, and that's it. And then it goes into Baloska, where Hashem says, okay, now we're ready to go. So what's going on? And of course, they don't end up in Eretz Yisrael, because then after Baloscha comes Shlach, and we know that story. So they didn't make it into Eretz Yisrael. But the point is, why? What are these things going on in Nasa? Why is Birchas Konim stuck right here after like the Metzora, the Sota, the Nazir, Birchas Konim? And then, so the Rabbag, it was so beautiful what he says. He says the following. And he says, in the last source, he says, V'idmesh zachar bazeh ha-makom bezota parsha lehasir hara mehamachane asher yavil miriva v'ktata. He says the Mitzora means, why does someone have to be sent out of the camp if they have Tzaras? Because they obviously spoke Lashon Hara. They caused problems between each other. We just finished setting up the camp, right? So we want to make sure there's peace, there's shalom in the camp. So if we want shalom in the camp, we need people who are not causing problems, not speaking about each other. Lashon Hara disunites people, pulls people apart, it causes machlokes. We know that, right? And if we want to have shalom in the camp, that person has to go out of the camp until he's ready to come back and be part of the kehillah. He says, "V'hu sheyeh adam nizhar milechazik b'mamon chaver shelo kedin v'lo yismach al chushev." Okay, fine. We're not going to go into that. But again, somebody, and you have to bring also one of the things that's besides mitzora is also a karban that you have to bring if you stole something. So also stealing, you know, you're not sensitive to other people. You can't be part of the machane, because our point is to have shalom in the machane. Why sota? He says, "V'inei samach zota parsha leparsha nakodemet shetzia tachlita lehasir machloket uktatam Yisrael." Our goal is to remove any machlokes among the kehillah, right? Ki zota parsha lehasir haktata min habayit. And he's talking about why shalom bayit is so important. How could you be a member, a good member of the kehillah, causing shalom in the kehillah if you don't have shalom bayit? And that's what sota, if you can't have a relationship of shalom inside your home, and sota represents the shalom bayis issue. He's accusing her, she's accusing him, is she committing adultery, is she not? Even if you're accusing someone, there's something going on there that's lacking shalom, that's lacking a certain shleimut. So we're kind of building out inside. From the outside, ultimately we want shalom in the machaneh.
Then comes Sota, which is represented by Mitzora and those other halachot. Then comes Sota, which represents Shalom in the home. But how can you have Shalom in the home, says the Rabbah, continuing on, if you don't have what? If you don't have Shalom within yourself. He says, V'nei samach zota parsha leparshat Sota, she'inyano lehasir haktata v'afseid v'habayit. You want to get rid of all machloket from the home. Lefi shezota parsha hu lehashkit hari v'afseid meha'adam be'atzmo. Mitzat shukata gufanit asher yaviu lideche. What does Nazir represent? And again, that's really another whole shiur, what Nazir is. I'm not going to start that now. But Nazir is somebody who's taking upon himself certain things, which again, are not necessarily ideal according to most Mefarshim. But why do you have to do this? Classic Rambam reason, Maimonidean reason why a person would become a Nazir. Because they have issues with themselves and they need, it's like rehab. You know, Rav Soloveitchik says it's an ish halacha also. He says it's like a rehabilitation period, you know, being a nazir. That's why you can't do it for too long, you can't do it for too short, you have to be in there. You go from, the Rambam says famously, a nazir is going from one extreme to another extreme in order to find the classic Rambam Shfil HaZahav. So a nazir, my husband the psychologist likes this one, right? That you can't, how can you be a good member of the community if you're not a good spouse? How can you be a good spouse if you're not at shalom with yourself? You don't, you know, you don't have issues and then someone tells you get married and your issues go away. They don't go away. You have to work on your own issues and you have to work on your own shalom within yourself, and maybe a way to do that is go through a nazir type period. And then you can work on your own things and then that will bring you to a certain shalom within yourself. Then you can have certain shalom in your home, which is represented by Sota, and then you can have a shalom in the Machana, which is represented by the beginning halachos in Nazir, in Naso. And finally, after you figure out how to make shalom in the community, in your house, among yourself, within yourself, zachar zot parsha shehi birchat kohanim shehi meira hara niflat al inyan hashleimut v'hashalom hamiti. And that's where we come to the final birchas kohanim, and the final part of birchas kohanim, v'yasem lecha shalom. You're only going to have the ultimate shleimut in your life if you're able to go through all the other shaloms in your life. And that's complete peace. So there you have it. Birchas Kohanim in a nutshell. If you have any questions quickly, I know we're went over the time a little bit, but I only started 5 minutes late. So, yes. Oh, that's a good question. I was actually looking that up. There's so many different opinions. The question is, what about the things you're supposed to say in the Siddur? The phrases you're not supposed to say. Most opinions say that the phrases after you say Yivarech Hashem Mishmecha, you're not supposed to say. What you can say to yourself is the Ribono Shel Olam, because you're adding your own personal bracha. What the Gemara says, it's part of your preparation to receive the bracha of Hashem. The question is, why is it about dreams? That's a different issue. But also, it's just interesting to note, why do we say it every day? Birchas Kohanim is said every day in Shul in Eretz Yisrael, and not here. And I think because the relationship with Hashem, I think the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is different in Eretz Yisrael. You know, a little plug for Aliyah here. But I think that it's clear that it's a different relationship. I think we probably need it more. But there's something to be said for that. Anyway, have a nice day. Happy Mother's Day. And thank you for coming. If you have any questions, I'll be